that we only send the link without the meeting ID and the meeting password. I suspect it's being done now so that everybody must be able to log in there. But otherwise, let me welcome all of you to this meeting, especially our members. I hope you rested post our hectic oversight visit. I think up front, I must start to raise some concern, both for the DG of COCTA and the DG of DCOC when we come to issues of oversight. But that's the matter that I think I've raised it with Deputy Minister Bapena. I'm still going to raise it with the Minister herself, the two DGs. It has been very concerning that as part of our oversight, visit, we have shared this program with you. Then at some point, especially for traditional affairs, there was no official in the meeting where we're doing oversight. Also in DCOG, responsibility when it comes to matters that were being raised by the communities, the municipalities. We made to understand that in the various processes of the COC, if we were to go to a meeting, a deputy at senior level, I'm not even in the meeting, to ask, it's an indication that because we understand that the is very busy, but at the same level, when we do oversight, we expect the much as we are able to, there must be somebody who delegated that we know this person is the DG. The worst case scenario is that when we say allow those DDGs and chief directors who are champions in those respective provinces to attend those oversight visits with us. So that's the matter that as a committee I said, let me raise up front, because there were instances wherein we went there. There was no one, especially for traditional affairs. So that's the matter that we feel we need to address up front. To say moving forward, I should think we can do it better than what actually happened with the previous oversight visit. So those are the matters that I felt I need to raise up front. Pardon me, my gadget is messing me up. Okay. Can I get the comments of the two DGs on the two matters that are raised? Who's starting?
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, and to all the committee members. This is DG DCOC. Chairperson, just with regards to the representation on the oversight visits, I must apologize. I couldn't hear you all the time because there was a drop. But I could pick up that there was a concern with regards to representation by the department on your oversight visits. Now, Chair, I can confirm that we had delegated two persons to be in attendance. For KZN, it was Nolwazi Njokweni. And for Gauteng, Clive Maduna. So if there was any time when these two officials were not present, then it's the first that I hear of that. And in fact, sorry, Chair, we had also even asked Paul Mohale, who's one of the chief directors, to also be present. Mm-hmm. So I would like maybe for Chair to then assist and give me more details on which parts of the oversight where staff or officials are not present. We apologize for that, but as far as I understood, we had clearly delegated to our officials to be there, Chair.
Yeah, you were not listening to me. Let me talk. DG, before, were you also not listening to my introduction? Can you comment? DG Dipofa, I see you're online. the DG of Traditional Affairs not in the meeting. Matish.
Chair, as far as I know, DG is in the office. I can just simply go and walk and check.
So you didn't hear what I was saying as well, DG?
No, I heard Chair. I would just check what they might be experiencing.
I can see it's on the system. I didn't hear what I was saying as well. It got dropped as well.
I said I can see him. Oh.
I can see him smiling.
Oh, can there he is. I think it's. I've sent someone to assist in the chair.
Oh, you want to speak on his behalf? He's going to address the mentally. Brian?
No, did you?
Yes, Chairperson.
Maybe you can brief your DG what I said earlier when the call dropped, because he's not responding to my concerns as I raised. Can you take the phone and call her offline and explain to her what I meant when I started the meeting?
Yes, Chairperson. The DG is there. I'll call him to Chairperson and I'll inform him, Chairperson. Yes, Chairperson.
Sure. Thank you,
Chairperson.
Mashish. Mr. Mashish. But I think we need
Chairperson.
You will also brief your DG. Maybe they will respond to me later as we close the meeting on the conference.
I'll do so, Chair.
Let me welcome Deputy Minister Tau and Deputy Minister Bapela. I've seen they've logged in. I got the concern from some of the colleagues. They were trying to log in, hence I raised earlier to say, can you assist them to log in? Also to welcome the senior management of both the Department of Cocktail and then including the CEO of MISA. This year, our budgetary review and recommendation report process is very much unusual, in that it comes before the tabling of the annual reports. The tabling of the annual reports to Parliament normally takes place towards the end of September. But you all know with this pandemic that you are living with, and that's happened in advance of the BRRR process in October. The delays arising from the declaration of the national state of disaster due to the COVID-19 pandemic required the extension of the annual report tabling deadline to 16 November 2020. Therefore, as a result, the AG's office is still busy with the audit process in some of the 2020-19 annual financial statements. Therefore, we could not benefit from the AG's briefing on the cocktail portfolios for 2019-2020 audit outcomes, as we are accustomed to do before the start of the BRRR process. However, colleagues will note that the Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Act still requires us to process our budgetary review and recommendation report before the tabling of the medium-term budget policy statement, which is already scheduled for the 28th of October 2020. We will therefore make our recommendation based on the department's quarterly performance information up to the 31st of March 2020. Although this is an unaudited information, it is still credible to the extent that National Treasury has verified it. We do plan to consider the annual report when they become available in November, as you could have seen in our core committee program. And should there be new matters arising, the Act also allows the committee discretion to prepare a supplementary BRR report. I should say upfront that we would like to thank the department for its cooperation in this regard and for availing your quarterly performance reports. In fact, if colleagues, you read Section 32 of the Public Finance Management Act, it is a statutory requirement for all departments to submit quarterly reports. And you'll recall initially when we started, we said that time permitting, as a committee, we'll have to consider your quarterly reports. And I should think this COVID pandemic caught us off guard, because therefore, given the limited time and the matters that we had to deal with, we couldn't then schedule time to process your quarterly reports. So that's a matter that I still want to again emphasize with the two DGs. Whether COVID or not, those quarterly reports must always be tabled at the end of each quarter with the committee. So in your case, I know the Demarcation Board has been very consistent in doing that. They've been sending us those reports, though we've not yet scheduled them. We then managed to browse the MISA final audit report. Is there, which indicates a clean audit for the second consecutive year. We want to congratulate the MISA team on a job well done. However, these are the things that one wants to raise. This is a cautious commendation, as the AG did not audit the infrastructure delivery management support program due to the reduction in the audit scope in view of the COVID-19 restrictions. We also note that the AG's management report to MISA raised some concern with regard to the technical support services program, which also failed to achieve all the targets it set. All the programs of the DCOG have spent 100% of their allocated budget by the 31st of March 2020. The exception, if you go through the reports, is the Institutional Development Program, which recorded under expenditure amounting to 3.3 billion in respect of the local government equitable share, while Program 2, the Regional and Urban Development and Legislative Support Program, and Program 6, Community Works Program, spent 100% of their allocated budget. They did not achieve 100% of the target set. As usual, one of the areas of underperformance relates to the revision of the CWP model. I know later we're still going to get a briefing on this matter. As I'm saying, the committee has been awaiting for a presentation, Dr. Sisona, on the revised model for quite some time now. This program continues to be problematic, and it is time for the leadership of DCOG to act decisively to rectify this unattainable situation. Three of the four programs in the Department of Traditional Affairs have achieved 100% of the target set. The exception is only the Institutional Support and Coordination Program, which achieved 71% of the Traditional Leadership Land Summit, as the Traditional Leaders Land Summit did not take place as planned. The question of the land was of utmost concern during the committee's oversight engagements with traditional leaders. Although the Section 25 matter is in progress and the GTA is not responsible for land allocation, the department must be active and visible in facilitating engagement with the responsible structures to ensure that the concerns of traditional leaders do not seem to be ignored. So those were the observations that we have noted. And then can I hand over to the DG of Traditional Affairs to start with the presentation? DG of Traditional Affairs, are you there?
Chair, may I check something? I thought that when you said to Brian, explain to the DG, we are going to allow her to respond on the concern before we start.
Okay. I want, that's what the issue that I said, maybe we will deal with that later.
I was speaking when I was already. What did you
Diembapela, mute your microphone. We are hearing everything.
Oh, my apology.
Diembapela, mute that microphone. Diembapela.
I've done so, my chairperson. I've muted now.
Now, because it's the traditional affairs presentation that we are going to deal with, maybe I'll allow you now, Diembapela, to make an opening statement. Then the DG of Traditional Affairs will do the presentation.
Thank you, Chairperson, and my apology on the earlier incident. I was not aware my mic was not muted. To honorable members of the Portfolio Committee of COPTA, greetings this morning to all of you. Indeed, the DG will be the one that will be presenting our report, and knowingly that we are dealing with a sector that is still in its evolution, the sector that is not well funded as yet, and obviously as you go along and then doing your oversight visits, I think you did pick up a number of challenges that the sector is still facing. But with a little budget that we have, we can at least do some work, and I think the report will then be indicative of on our spending so far. But then the issue that we need to notify in the report is because of the rural connectivity during COVID-19, there were a number of challenges of activities that could not be fulfilled because of lockdown. Those that needed physical type of meetings. Even when you tried to do the virtual meetings, it was impossible, unfortunately, because the connectivity in the rural areas remains a big challenge. I think it's one of the exposures that even COVID has laid bare to everybody, that we are not connecting enough all the people. The digital divide is still there in South Africa. And also they don't have the gadgets, even if there's a little connectivity wherever they are, to enable them to then go into the virtual platform. So they have been losing out on those activities simply because of those particular challenges. Hence, the spending in those particular areas, you will realize that it didn't happen because of the challenges that of virtual aspects of it not happening. But we rely on having to drive to go there, meet the people, talk to them face to face, hoping therefore that with level one and other levels that might still arise and whatever regulation says going forward, we'll be able then in the last quarter and remaining quarter be able to fulfill some of the tasks and the mandates that we had targeted. Chair, with those few opening remarks, I would therefore like to invite the DG then to present DG Limpopo. Through your permission. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, DM Mbapela. DG Dipofa, you had a Honorable Mkalip. Before you do that, you deal with this issue of non-attendance of your senior management team members to oversight. Because our program was very clear that we will be meeting with a traditional leader. There were issues. We know this, some of the matters at the competence of the province, and we can assure you the provinces sent at some point even HODs where the HOD couldn't attend, the DDGs responsible were there. But that was not the situation when it comes to traditional meeting.
Good morning, Chairperson. I hope I'm audible. I'm using the laptop of Mr. Mashishi. There was a problem with the one I'm using in my office. I hope I'm audible, Chairperson, if I could confirm that.
You are very loud and clear.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members of the committee, our deputy ministers and their colleagues. I think just to start with the first issue, Chairperson, that you raised, I did hear it. I could hear you from my side, but it's just that when I was trying to respond, there was a problem with the audio. I think from our side, we just need to apologize, Chairperson, because the arrangements that we had made clearly didn't prove to be adequate. We had coordinated with our colleagues in the National House that we will support each other, and there will be Mr. Sam Kandela for the Gauteng visit, our DDG Thanda Zashandu for the KZN visit, but there are other things that intervened in the process, such as ill health and so on, and that led to our arrangements not going well. What we would need to do is to make sure that we plan better. And we deal with the assignment in a much better and better coordinated way than we did this time around. And so we really want to say to the committee that as we receive the programs, we will just make sure that we plan better for the coming oversight visits and deal with our deployments in a much more coordinated manner than we have done this time around. In terms of the...
That's the DG's respond. You've heard him,
yes? Yes, Chair. We'll engage. So.
Proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. In terms of the presentation, we're just checking in terms of the sharing of the presentation on the screen. We're trying to share it from our side. It says we are disabled from sharing it, I assume. That will be assisted with the sharing on the side of the committee. Okay, Chairperson, the presentation, if we could just go to the next slide. This is just the outline of the presentation. The first part deals with the performance during the four quarters of 2019-2020. The second part deals with financial performance during the same period. What we had done, we had also included in Part C performance for 2020 and 2021, quarters 1 and 2, and here we'll be guided by the committee whether we table those as well, including financial performance for quarter one and quarter two. But in the main, part A and part B deals with the four quarters of 2019-20, and part C and part D then begins to look at the performance for the first two quarters of 2020-2021. I should indicate that for the fourth quarter, this is information that was cleaned based on the performance report we have received. But usually with all our performance reports, once they have been received for the quarter, they then get scrutinized through internal audit to make sure that the evidence supporting the reported achievements can be confirmed. That is the process that internal audit is dealing with now for quarter two. If we could just then go to the next slide. Okay, the first few slides have got information that is contained in our APPs and our strat plans and our annual reports usually. So I will not be spending a lot of time on those. That this information has not changed in terms of our vision, our mission, and our strategic outcome-oriented goals as presented to this committee earlier this year. This next slide also just draws from the strat plan and APP presented to the committee earlier this year, talking about the strategic objectives. Those have not changed as well, and we've retained them as they are. The next slide then just looks at the overall performance in terms of strategic objectives, annual targets. So it will show that the total for the four quarters for 1920 will be total of 14, with a total of 12 that were achieved, which constitute 86%, and two that were not achieved. The chairperson in her opening remarks spoke about institutional support and coordination. Those are the two that are reflected there. And in this presentation, we'll speak to those two targets as well. This one then just goes through the different programs, just so this is administration and the issues that we're flagging there that we have been able to achieve them as indicated in the APP that was tabled before this committee. You can move on to the next slide. This one, it goes to the second program, which is research policy and legislation, and it shows the areas that we said we were going to work on as per the APP tables before the committee. So it shows that those areas were achieved as well, as shown in the actual performance in the extreme right column. Next slide. This one then goes to the next program, which is institutional support and coordination. This is the one where we said there are two targets that were not achieved. We'll speak to those targets, but the ones on this slide, slide 8, are the ones that we were able to achieve. So if you could go to the next slide, slide 9. And this speaks to the ones that we were not able to achieve. The chairperson in her opening remarks spoke to the issue of the land summit. The issue indeed arose from the traditional leadership in Indaba that was held in June 2017, and a resolution was taken there that the land summit should be hosted so that the critical issues relating to land, particularly communal land and communal land tenure can be dealt with. The intention was to convene that summit during the course of the 1920 financial year, but we indicate here, Chairperson, that we were not able to do that. We report that there was a decision that was taken that because this is fundamentally a land matter, that the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development should lead that process, obviously working with us and supported by DTA. But the second issue was that there was a decision taken that before the summit is hosted, there should be a benchmarking visits to selected African countries where we can glean experiences from them that we can then use to benchmark the work that we will have to do towards the communal land tenure policy in South Africa. So those visits took place in Uganda from the 25th to the 28th of February, and in Botswana from the 3rd to the 6th of March. After those benchmarking visits, it was then late when we could not go into the process of hosting the summit. But let me just assure the committee that this work has not been dropped at all. In fact, this is firmly on the program of the Interministerial Committee on Land Reforms, chaired by the Deputy President, and there are ongoing discussions and reports and updates that are given in that meeting to make sure that this work is taken forward. Our counterparts in agriculture, land reform, and rural development, they are already busy with work around policy positions based on what has been learned from these two countries, so that those policy positions can then be the basis of engagement as we work towards the land summit. The second target there is linked to the first that was not achieved, because a plan was that once we have the summit, there will be a program of action that is developed emanating from the land summit, and our focus will be on and coordinating and monitoring the implementation of the program of action. Those are the two targets that were not achieved. If you go to the next slide. The next slide, still with this program of institutional support and coordination, it just shows the two areas of work there that we're going to focus on, and it does indicate that those two indeed were achieved. Next slide. Okay, so in the next slide, now we're looking at the continuation as we look at the institutional support and coordination. There is work there that was related to a dialogue for women in traditional leadership, workshop on gender-based violence in traditional leadership. That was achieved together with the work that the National House of Traditional Leaders was responsible for. That was achieved as well. Next slide. This next slide then just shows a breakdown per quarter for the 2019-2020 financial year. So it shows for quarter one and per program up to quarter four. And it shows the percentage of targets that were achieved per quarter from quarter one up to quarter four. And then as a percent, and the percentage of those that were not achieved from quarter one to quarter four. This is just the statistics, but the actual narrative is then in terms of the project that we have spoken to in the previous slides. Next slide. The next few slides then just takes this information and then elaborates it further in terms of program performance indicators. It's done again in terms of the programs, the different programs that we have. The first one is administration, and as indicated in the earlier slides, those targets were achieved as reflected here on slide 13. If you go to slide 14, the next slide. The next slide as well just shows that in terms of the work in the research policy and legislation program, that the targets that were specified were achieved as well. We just, of course, indicate that there was a slight deviation in the number of districts that the branch was profiling, because we're doing work where we're profiling the different districts on traditional leadership matters, so that when we go into the district development model, we have information per district about the institutional traditional leadership in that district. Initially, in this branch, we targeted looking at 28 districts, and here we're focusing on specifically those districts in which the institutional traditional leadership exists. But we ended up then doing 30 districts. So it's just a slight deviation compared to what the target was in a positive direction. Next slide. The next slide is still with research policy and legislation. It just shows the work that we intended to do on kinships and genealogies, as well as draft regulations on Section 81 of the Municipal Structures Act. So those were achieved as well. If we go to the next slide. The next slide now goes to institutional support and coordination. Honorable members would recall that it is in this program where we said there were two targets that were not achieved. So this slide just shows the ones that we have reported on earlier that have been achieved. If we just go to the next one, slide 17. Slide 17 is a continuation. Also shows the ones that were achieved in this branch around the guidelines that were being developed and the proposed curriculum for traditional leadership training. Next slide. This one now shows also, because what we did with the profiling of districts, we said we divide the work according to the two branches. There are issues that are specific to institutional support and coordination for the profiling of districts, and there are issues specific to research and policy and legislation. So each one of those branches had to do its part around the profiling of these districts, and then the information then was pulled together in one report per district. So they did their part as well as reflected here. Next slide. Next slide is about the National House of Traditional Leaders. So in this particular area, you'll have those that work that needed to be done around consulting the different houses of traditional leadership on the district development model, and also monitoring their involvement in agrarian revolution. Those were achieved as well. Next slide. Okay, this is still with the National House of Traditional Leaders, engagements with kings and queens, as well as the implementation of the National House of Traditional Leaders Women Empowerment Project. Those were achieved as well. Next slide. Okay, so this slide was more focusing on monitoring the implementation of the initiation schools policy guidelines. That's the work that the National House of Traditional Leaders was doing. So that monitoring as well happened, as reflected in the actual performance. But next slide. This slide just then shows all this information in a pie chart, showing that all in all, we had 31 targets, 21 achieved, 2 not achieved. The 2 that were not achieved are the ones that I explained earlier in terms of the work relating to the summit. And at the bottom there, it just then shows the trends over a 5-year period around the achievement of trends, around the achievement of targets. Next slide. This slide then looks at financial performance. If you go to the next slide, just to see the actual detail around financial performance, that we started off with an allocation of 168,351,000, and that the expenditure at the end of the fourth quarter was 160,716,000, which shows an underspending of just over 7 million, and in percentage terms is 95.5%. The breakdown per program is shown there in terms of program 1, administration, program 2, research policy and legislation, program 3, institutional support and coordination. But at the bottom, it then just shows the same information, but in terms of economic classification. So this will show that where the bulk of the underspending took place is under compensation of employees, where it was a variance of 6.577 million. This is as a result of a number of factors. One of them was that there was an intention that we will keep a bit of money for compensation of employees in preparation for the establishment of the Commission on Question Matters, so that we can be able to appoint commissioners, and we can maybe be able to appoint staff that will support the commissioners. But due to then the delays in the proclamation of the date in which the traditional and Kwaisan Leadership Act takes effect, we were then not able to spend that money. But part of the delay here was also because during the 1920 financial year, there was also that process around the reconfiguration of government following the elections, and there was a requirement to say that let's pause a bit on the filling of posts unless they can be regarded as critical posts as per the standards that have been defined at the time. So as a result, that led to a slowing down in the spending of the money on compensation of employees. Perhaps I think just to indicate where we talk about transfer payments on the CRL Rights Commission, where we reflect that it was 100%. Here we're just showing that it's 100% transferred to the CRL Rights Commission, but the actual expenditure report, which shows how much of that 45.189 million was actually spent, that will be accounted for by the CRL Rights Commission itself. Next slide. So here, Chairperson, that's where I was indicating that we even went a little bit into the 2021 targets, which just shows the two quarters, because the quarter 3 and quarter 4, we are not there as yet. So we're focusing on quarter 1 and quarter 2, showing that we had 10 targets for quarter 1 and 17 targets for quarter 2, and then we indicate in terms of those that were achieved from quarter 1, it was 8, and 2 were not achieved, 17 achieved for quarter 2, and then the rest of the columns just shows percentages there of those achieved versus those that were not achieved. Next slide. This slide then goes into the details of those first quarter performance. So this one just shows this one which was not achieved, which is about capacity building for queenships and kingships. We had to be physically on the ground to work with them in this capacity building initiative. So during the first quarter, due to the COVID restrictions, we're not able to organize to be physically present on the ground to work with kinships and queenships. Next slide. Then the next slide just shows where we, because we're working with provinces this time around on the information management framework, not necessarily with royal families. So we were able to do this work virtually with provinces on the information management framework. So that was achieved. Next slide. This as well, in terms of the work with provinces, because we're working directly with provinces on this one, monitoring the provinces as in the way in which they monitor the implementation of the dispute resolution framework. So we were able to do this as well during the first quarter despite the restrictions. Next slide. Okay, this next slide is about that handbook that we had to draft that handbook and make sure that there are internal consultations on the handbook. So we're just reporting on that as well. That was done during the first quarter. If we could go to the next slide, please. Yes, this on the next slide here is just the draft that we had to generate during the first quarter. It didn't require actual presence on the ground, so we're able to do this from the office, and that was achieved. Next slide. Here we reflect the one that was achieved on the initial work that we're doing on the remodeling of the Agrarian Revolution Program to make sure that there's a draft produced in this case that was done, but where we had to workshop local houses, which is the next target there, that was not that could not be achieved. Next slide. And this one then focuses on our awareness campaigns and the work that the National House of Traditional Leaders had to do. A huge focus here being on the issue of regulations and the suspension of initiation prison, and the House had a number of campaigns there to make sure that all provinces are aware of the decisions that have been taken in this regard. Next slide. And this one focuses on the social cohesion program of the National House. The greater focus here was on the promotion of working together with communities for purposes of food relief programs. And there was a partnership with the Solidarity Fund for this work to be done. So it shows that was achieved as well. Next slide. So this is just look at the what happened during the first quarter of those areas that we were not able to achieve. So the plan that we are working on now, which will be tabled in Parliament in March, we've looked back at those areas that we were not able to do during 1920, and we're saying during the first quarter of this financial year, and we're saying let's build them into the 2021-22 annual performance plan. Next slide. This one goes into the second quarter. I won't take a lot of time on this, but this is where I indicated, Chairperson, that we pulled together for purposes of this committee, but just to also indicate that this is work that is now going through our internal audit processes for verification, so that when we are called upon to formally submit to the portfolio committee, the work will have been verified by internal audit. So the first slide just shows that according to reports we have now, this targets were achieved. If you go to the next slide. The next slide, the same thing, and this basically focusing on internal administrative processes in corporate services in the department for the second quarter achieved. The next one begins to go into line function, research policy and legislation. Also, it shows that work was achieved there. you go to the next one. The next one still on research policy and legislation, again reported as achieved. Next slide. On research policy and legislation continued, also showing that target for the second quarter was achieved. Next slide. Okay, now on this slide, now we are going into institutional support and coordination, showing that draft concept document on the remodeling of
the
program that was achieved as well. Next slide. Still with institutional support and coordination, and again, this is the work between the department, the National House, as well as the Solidarity Fund on food voucher program.
Can I plead with Honorable Mpumza to mute his microphone, please? Honorable Mpumza, can you mute your microphone, please? DG, proceed, DG.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Okay,
and
so,
you are left with 6 minutes.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. Okay, so we to the next slide. I've spoken to this one already on the partnership with the Solidarity Fund. Okay, this is the work that we're carrying forward in terms of the institutional traditional leadership in the district development model, and the National House making sure that it consults with different houses at provincial and local level for their role in this regard, and us having to develop a draft guide that will assist and facilitate the participation of local houses in the DDM. So that also is reflected as achieved. Next slide. This is still with institutional support and coordination. I think here we're just going through a verification process, Chairperson, and we'll be able to confirm in our a final report on quarter two to the portfolio committee, particularly on the first target that relates to skills audit. But that's work that our internal audit is looking at in terms of its own verification, but the other two targets there reflected as achieved as shown in that slide. Next slide. Next slide is the work of the National House of Traditional Leaders. That's the focus on the work that they do on promoting social cohesion. The focus this time around was on areas relating to funeral and cultural events as per COVID-19 protocols, and also just awareness raising initiatives that the House was busy with during the course of the quarter. You can go to the next slide. Still with the National House of Traditional Leaders and the awareness campaigns on the suspension of customary initiation and communicating broadly via the media and through the Chairperson's Forum meetings as well. Next slide. This part then just shows spending as up to the 30th of September, the overall budget of 170 million, spending 64.346. I must just indicate that when we come back to the committee, we'll be able. There are processes around budget cuts that the rest of government is going through at the moment. So when we come back to the committee with the final figures, the expectation is that the 170 million, especially as we start doing our reports for third quarter onwards, that it will be slightly below that amount because there are cuts that are being applied across a number of departments in government. But we just show that the cumulative expenditure as at 30th of September was 64 million, and we show the split according to the programs, the split according to economic classification as well in the different areas that reflect the slide. Next one. And here we're just asking the committee to note the following two critical issues. Firstly, that we now a separate vote vote 15 as Department of Traditional Affairs. We used to be part of the same vote with the Department of Cooperative Governance. That has changed. We now have a separate vote. In the past, this used to assist us, especially where ourselves and the Seattle Rice Commission experienced financial constraints, because through the adjusted estimate process, we could then, with the assistance of DUCOG, have a bit of funding assigned to us to assist in that regard. Now that we are a separate vote, this is not going to be as easy as it used to be. But we just thought that it's a matter for the committee to note that we are now a separate vote, no longer part of the same vote as the Department of Cooperative Governance. And then, of course, that there is money which was classified as an authorized expenditure several years ago, 2014-15. And that matter has still not served before SCOPA. And we are raising it here because should it serve before SCOPA and it is not condoned or it is condoned without funding, then it means that the funding will have to then to come from future allocations of the Department of Traditional Affairs. But we stand ready on our side should we call to appear before SCOPA to answer questions on the 2014-15 unauthorized expenditure. I hope I was able to stay within the six minutes that were left, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, DG. The CEO of Mr. Reddy. Mr., are you ready? CEO of Vimba. Then let me, okay. The presentation is loaded, but I didn't hear a yes from the CEO.
Chairperson? It's Sam speaking here. It looks like the CEO is struggling to connect wherever he is.
Okay.
Can I then take over and present on his behalf?
Okay.
So permit.
Yes, proceed.
Okay. I don't know, Chair, if with your indulgence I'm allowed to flag the presentation from this side and control it from this side.
Andile?
Sharon is actually the host chair, but it's always better for them to control it from their side.
Sure.
Okay. Chairperson, I will try to be quick.
In 20 minutes, Clemne.
Yeah, I will try to do so. Our presentation has got about
20 minutes. By 18 past, it should be done.
Okay. So thank you, Chairperson.
Sure. Thank you.
Chairperson, I will try to move with speed. Our presentation has got 88 slides, but I will make sure that I quickly run through them. Starting with the purpose of the presentation, it's known to the members. Indeed, we'll be presenting the four quarterly performance reports for the year 2019-20. And that will be focusing on the performance against the predetermined objectives as well as the quarterly financial performance by NISA. I must indicate, Chair, that this report that we're presenting was audited by the MISA internal audit. So the information that we are presenting here is information that was also used at the end of the financial year when we were audited by the Auditor General. I will not go through the MISA mandate. Going straight to the summary, you will see from this table, Chair, that in the first quarter, we achieved 15 out of 20 indicators. I must explain, and this one up front, Chair, that the five that we could not achieve in the first quarter were due to the following reasons. They were mainly due to the budget adjustment, because there were budget cuts that we had to deal with. So there are indicators which we took a management decision on not to continue with them. For example, recruiting more candidates, that those will be the learners and the YGs. And as a result, there is no way that we could have achieved them in the first quarter because of that decision. And of course, the other reason would have been in one area where we did not have enough resources. It's a newly established chief directorate where we only had two people in the chief directorate, and one was assigned to perform other duties elsewhere, and as a result, that affected the performance. In quarter two, out of 20, we achieved 19. There is only one that we could not achieve. It was with regard to ARPL, that is the artisan recognition of prior learning, where we assist municipal officials with requisite experience to gain, or rather to get formal qualifications and get pre-tested as artisans. We could not achieve that because this one was dependent on the relevant departments, particularly the Department of Higher Education and Training, finalizing the toolkit for those assessments. So because the toolkits were not ready, then the assessments were delayed. That's why we could not achieve that one in quarter two. In quarter three, we had 19 KPIs to account for. Out of those 19, we achieved 17, meaning that three were not achieved. These three that could not, rather two could not be achieved. One of them, Chair, was on MIG expenditure. By that time, municipalities were expected to reach at least a 40% threshold set by government in terms of their performance on their MIG allocations. Only 54 out of 87 municipalities managed to reach that 40% threshold. Our own assessment came to the conclusion that was caused mainly by the following issues. One would have been the delays in issuing the DORA report so that you are able to align performance as captured in the MIG system against the actual performance on the ground. The other one would have been instability in municipalities, which would have affected implementation of projects. And of course, poor project preparation in some of the municipalities. Those were the issues that we detected and tried to start working on. The other indicator again was the ARPL one, wherein we managed to take only 46 out of the 60 municipal officials for training. We could not take the additional 14 because the toolkit for electricians was again delayed. It was not released by the relevant department. So that caused a delay. Coming to quarter four, you will see, Chair, that out of 23 indicators which were due for reporting, we managed to achieve 19. Then it means five of them, rather four of them were not achieved. And it is clear that there must have been a serious challenge here that we could not achieve this number of indicators. One of the indicators, Chair, was on MIG again, where the threshold set was for municipalities who are MIG recipients to achieve 70% in terms of performance against their allocations. Only 20 out of the 87 municipalities that we had targeted to support managed to reach that threshold. And again, we took a resolve as MISA to assist municipalities going forward with proper project preparation and to make sure that working with other stakeholders, including DCOP, governance and financial management issues are addressed in municipalities. The other indicator that was not achieved, or the second one, was the assessment of the functionality of water and sanitation infrastructure in municipalities. We had planned to conduct 18 assessments by the end of the fourth quarter. Only 10 assessments by then were concluded or finalized. The reason was that we had not outsourced these functions. We're doing it in-house with only two staff members in the relevant chief directorate. We then put reliance on utilizing MISA engineers and town planners who are out there, including the young graduates we have across the province. The reason why we could not finalize the remaining aid was because of the outbreak of COVID. Late February, early March, we had to withdraw the young graduates and MISA officials.
Okay. My apologies, comrades. My apologies, honourable members. The chair has just requested to be excused for some few minutes. He's going to come back. Honourable Kalipi?
Yes, chair. No, I'm hearing dogs that are barking on the background when they're speaking. It's very disturbing.
Where does the sound come from? Is it from the presenter?
No, not from my side, chair.
Okay, honourable members and colleagues from different departments, can you please mute your mic? The only person who's allowed to switch on his or her mic is the one who's presenting. Thank you. You can proceed, Mr. Ngumeni.
Thank you very much, chair. I was still talking to areas of underperformance during quarter four or at the end of quarter four of the previous financial year, that there are four indicators that we could not achieve. I have already spoken to the first two. The third one, again, was the ARPL. So you must have realized that there is a kind of consistency with regard to the training of municipal officials on this artisan recognition of prior learning program. This time, we're expected to have sent 80 of them for training. Only 49 could be sent. The reason being that because of the outbreak, because our plan was to start sending them in towards the end of February and in March, we had received confirmation from the TVET that they will accept them at, during those times. But unfortunately, because of the outbreak of COVID, TVET cancelled all their training schedules, and therefore we could not send those officials for training. And that resulted in us not achieving that target. The last one, or fourth one, that we could not achieve was on the municipal capacity development plans. This program required that we support seven municipalities with implementation, which we did, but we had also to finalize the development of an additional eight municipal capacity development plans, which we couldn't finalize because there was a dispute which was lodged by the service provider. Yet we had the drafts in place, but we could not finalize the program. And that is the reason why it could not be addressed. But in terms of that dispute, we started engaging at a higher level, and the issues were resolved. And we're still positive that in this financial year, we'll be able to finalize this. So when it comes to performance against predetermined objectives, this slide summarizes areas of underperformance and, of course, areas where we're able to achieve the targets as they were set. And the picture that is painted here is not that different from the picture that we had at the end of the financial year. Then this slide confirms in percentage form exactly what I was talking about. I won't dwell in that. When it comes to financial performance in the first quarter, you will see, Chair, that the income that we had is mainly from transfer from the department, and there is nothing else except for the interest that shall have been received. In terms of expenditure, it's clear that we spent 401. In other words, we spent a little bit more than what we had, more especially on contracted services, because there were projects which were implemented and then we had to pay. I will move straight, because that summarizes our financial performance. Coming to quarter two, Chairperson, Oh, sorry, that was
The slide is not moving.
Yes, Chair. Even myself, I request to say.
We are still on the first slide where it shows the topic of the presentation.
Goodness me. From my side, yes, the slides are moving. I don't know what the problem will be.
Okay.
Sure. I spent most of my time, Chair, on slide number, if you have these slides with you, on slide number 7, which summarizes our performance, particularly performance against predetermined objectives. And I'm moving the slide from this side, they are moving. I will try to remove this and connect again. Maybe there will be changes, I don't know.
Yes, now we can see that you are on slide number 7.
I'm now on slide number 7.
Yes.
Then let me try to put it again on slide show, Chair. It has now moved again to the other slides. So that slide number 7, Chair, is the slide that I spent most of my time on because it summarizes the performance across the 4 quarters. That's performance against predetermined objectives. Chair, for the purposes of making sure that we will move together, is it possible that I can request Secretariat again to move the slides for everyone? Chairperson?
Yes, Ndate. Let me just check with the host. Is it possible that the host can assist us with the moving of the slide?
I will do so.
Okay, thank you so much.
Should I remove the one that is on the screen?
Yes, please.
You should.
Can I remove it?
Yes, please.
Okay. Okay, can we then go to slide? Yeah, that is the slide that I was talking to. I'm not going to go back, Chair, and talk to that one because I've already spent time on it. If we could go to slide number 12, I think that is where I was. Yes, from here, Chair, these are now the details with regard to how we performed across the 4 quarters. So this will be performance during quarter 1. You will then see what I was talking about. If we could move to the next slide. You just move until we find where we did not achieve. It will be in red. There will be an indicator in red. Yes, that one. That is the indicator I was talking to that we could not achieve. The indicator talks to the infrastructure report card that where we took a management decision not to continue with that indicator. Yes, last year or in the previous financial year, we had an APP which had this specific indicator at the beginning of the financial year, but then we adjusted the indicator the APP and this indicator was amongst those that were removed. We can move on. I've already spoken to that. Then this one is on the young graduates. There is another one, of course, on experiential learners. I've already spoken to this and indicated that we took a management decision because of budgetary constraints not to continue with this. And this was removed again when we adjusted the APP. Can we move again? On the partial performance, I've already spoken to this one. It is on the implementation of the municipal capacity building plans. This time it was just partial achievement because of municipalities not being responsive. It was 3 out of 8 municipalities which could not be engaged during that time. We can move. Yes, this one is on the implementation of the framework contract. I have already spoken to this one to say during the first quarter, we focused on conducting assessments and prioritizing the requests for utilization of the MISA framework contracts by municipalities. So engagements only started in the second quarter. So that takes care. You can move to the next slide. On financial performance, I've already indicated that the funds that MISA received were mainly in the form of transfer from DIPCOC. Other than that, it would have been interest that accrued. And then it's clear in terms of the expenditure, and expenditure was in accordance with the budget. You can move to the next slide. Move to the second quarter. This is second quarter performance. I have already summarized what actually transpired, that out of 19 KPIs, out of 20, only one could not be achieved. That is the one on artisan recognition of prior learning. So you can move. You will see as you move on. Just keep on moving the slides. Yeah, that is the indicator I was making reference to. And I indicated the plans that we had in terms of making sure that we achieve that despite the fact that the assessment toolkits were not ready from the Department of Higher Education and Training. We can move to the finances just to show one slide that you can stop there. Again, that we received our second tranche. The last time it was 86, this time 87, in the form of income coming from the department. In actual fact, it was 86, 85.99. Then we spent about 219, you will see the deficit of 132, and the main expenditure item would have been contracted services at that time. We can move to quarter three. This is quarter three. Under quarter three, I reported that 2 indicators could not be achieved out of the 19, so we achieved 17 out of 19. The first one, that's the one on MIG, I've explained the reasons behind us not achieving that one, that there were delays in the DORA, instability in some municipalities, and poor project preparation having affected performance. The next one is again on the ARPL that I've already spoken to. And that takes care of quarter two. We again received our tranche from the department and spent accordingly as planned. Then under quarter four, this is where out of 23 KPIs which were due for reporting, we only achieved 19, meaning that 4 were not achieved. I have already spoken to the MIG 1212, that the threshold in terms of performance against allocations was set at 70%. Only 20 out of 87 municipalities could reach that. And the mitigating factors which resulted in acceleration were undertaken. The next one was on the assessment of the functionality of water and sanitation infrastructure. I've spoken to that. That out of the 18, we could only achieve 10 affected by the COVID. And of course, the ARPL one and the MCDPs, these are the municipal capacity building plans, where I indicated that we managed to have, instead of having 15 completed, we only had 7 and 8 drafts. You can move on. On the finances, again, we received our tranche and then we spent accordingly, but you will see that there was a slight over expenditure against what we had in that period. We can move. In terms of recommendations, we are presenting to the portfolio committee that the committee notes the quarterly performance reports against predetermined objectives for the year 2019-20, including our performance against the allocated budget. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Ntate. Now we are going to give to DCOG to present. DG.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. If I could please ask that the presentation be slided.
And DG, before you present, I think there was a question that was asked by Chairperson regarding your attendance to department attendance to oversight. Do you have a response for that?
No, thank you, Chairperson. Perhaps I should just ask what was the part of the question that we might have missed, because I've also checked with the team and everyone said they did not hear the Chairperson. There was a time when it dropped. So I had responded to, I think, the first part. But the second part, which the chair referenced, I'm not aware of what it is. So if we could be assisted with that, it will be good. Thank you, Chair. And may I now...
Okay, yeah, it's because the chair is not here, but what I've heard, it was that a department did not attend some of the oversight visit that the committee engaged on.
Okay.
Or you can present, and then when the chair comes back, she will repeat the question.
Okay. No, thank you, Chairperson, because we actually had responded to this part of the question where we said that we had designated or asked specific officials to actually be in attendance. And, of course, those where they were not in attendance, we would need to go back and understand what actually transpired, Chairperson. But it's fine when the chair returns, we can ask her to maybe then rephrase the question in case we've misunderstood. Okay, so the presentation then is to provide for the quarterly financial and non-financial performance of the department, and we're looking at progress from quarter one through to quarter four for the 2019-2020 financial year. The actual submission of the reports are normally due at the end of July, but of course, as you all are aware, this was actually extended due to lockdown. So the audit process commenced then in August. And an important point to note is that it's still in progress for the department. So the purpose then of the presentation is for us to then just appraise the portfolio committee about both the financial and non-financial quarterly performance. Next slide, please. So if you look at the four quarters, you can see that in quarter one, we started with an achievement of 58%. Which then progressed to 67, 68, and in the final quarter to 78%. The actual cumulative performance for the year, we will report in our annual report. Next slide, please. So this is a summary of the quarterly performance per program, starting from administration through to our community works program. And as you can see, Chair, it actually then correlates back to the percentage performance per quarter. And what this indicates is the number of targets that we actually did achieve in each of the quarters in each of the programs. So, for instance, in institutional development, you can see two of the four were achieved in quarter one, in quarter two, two out of three, quarter three, three out of three, and then quarter four, five out of five. And so on for all the other programs. If we can then move on to the following slide. What this slide then does is give us an indication of the annual targets, specifically in program one, which is administration. And here the target was that we needed to ensure that we had 100% implementation of the 2018-19 post-audit action plan, which is in place to improve the audit outcomes by the 31st of March this year. This, in essence, was not achieved, Chairperson, where we've actually had a total of 85% of the actions not being achieved and 51% partially achieved and then 33% were not implemented as of the end of March. However, since that time, Chair, we are providing an indication of some of the improvements that were made up until the end of August, where those that were not implemented have since been reduced to a 5% non-implementation. And the areas that were resolved are the incomplete information that was captured on the CWP MIS system, that's been done. The schedules on performance information have been concluded. We've also then finalized the performance information to ensure that this is compliant to the SMART criteria. And then just on the overstatement of prepayments due to retention fees that were not withheld when making advances to NPOs, these have since been done. And then the assessment, asset management, and consumable policy still in draft format has also been resolved. Some of the other issues that we continued with relates to the grants and
Hey. Is it me or is the DG gone?
Yeah, DG is gone now.
This is gone. I also thought it's my network because it's very bad. But it's the DG. DG?
The person I'm still in, maybe it was just the network, I'm not sure. But I'm not certain what you last heard.
Yeah, can you please go back a bit because it's been quiet for the...
Okay, so
you've been quiet for the past 3 minutes or so.
Wow. Okay, so let's look at program two, Chairperson. On this program, we had 5 targets that needed to be followed through upon. And of those 5, we did not achieve on 3 of the targets. And the first one being the 4 intermediate cities support program. Only 3 of the 4 intermediate city support plans were implemented by end of March. On the profile for the 44 districts and municipalities and the 8 metros, we also did not achieve this, although a lot of ground was covered. In putting all the profiles together, we only managed to then finish these at the end of June this year. With regards to the IAUDF strategy and implementation program for small town regeneration, the process to actually source a service provider to develop the strategy and the implementation program had to be redone. This therefore caused a delay in terms of integrating it back into the DDM strategy. But we will be finalizing that project this year. If we then move on to the next slide, which is program 3, on this one, we've achieved all the targets. If you could move on to the next slide, which is program 4. On the this slide, we've also achieved all the targets. If we could then move on to program 6. On this one, Chairperson, we had 4 targets, and of the 4, 1 was not achieved. And this one related to the CWP program. In other words, developing our or coordinating with the CW site business plan into 1 plan for each municipality through the DDM process. This was not achieved as there was a capacity constraint. It was a new target that also had been revised mid-year, and it was for that reason not achieved. If you can then move to the final state of expenditure per program. So if you look at administration, we had a 98.91% spending with a saving of 3.320. If you look at program two, we spent at 99.92%. On program three, on IG, we had a 95.12% spend, which means that we had 3.3 billion of the equitable share, which was held due to not spending within the municipality. Then on program four, on the National Disaster Management Center, we spent 99.76%. And then on the local government support and intervention program, we spent 99.9%, and on the community work program, 99.9%. The actual details will then be explained in the economic classification. And then with regards to the economic classifications, if you look at the compensation of employees, the savings there on the 4.8 is due to some vacancies that were not filled during the financial year. And of course, as you can see under transfers and subsidies, we have a 96.1% spend, which then relates to the equitable share. Below that, under the Department of Cooperative Governance, this is a provision that was actually made with regards to early retirements. However, it was overestimated, and therefore we had an under expenditure there of 3.7. If you then move on to the next slide, this is the final state of expenditure as it is for program and economic classification. I think to highlight here would be the Municipal Systems Improvement Grant, where we've had a saving of 25.6. And this was as a result of some underspending on projects that had started late, and some of these projects were therefore not completed and it actually overran into this financial year, and we will then ensure that we finalize on those. Maybe just to also highlight here on transfers to entities, in particular the UCLGA, this money was not spent, it was transferred or returned to National Treasury. And this was just as a result of non-reporting on the previous expenditure or the failure to actually provide for a report from the previous expenditure by the entity. If we can then move on to the next slide, this is just a continuation of the expenditure per program and economic classification. And I suppose once again, we just highlight the vacancies there in each of the programs. If you then go to the final state of expenditure as at March 2020, this relates to transfers in particular. And as you can see that the conditional grants that are here, we've spent at 100%, that being the Integrated Urban Development Grant and the Municipal Infrastructure Grant. And as you can see on the local government equitable share, that we had an underspending there of 3.3. If we then just wrap up then on the presentation and you look at our overall expenditure, we're actually then just saying that the department had 86.950 billion at the end of March as total expenditure, which then amounts to 96.2% spending rate of the total appropriation that we had received. And then the total expenditure of the department, excluding grants and departmental agencies, is 4.432 billion as of end of March. And the main reasons for our underspending, which totals to 3.8% against the projections for the year up to the end of March, are related to compensation of employees and then also goods and services. We also had some slow start with the implementation of the procurement plan for last year. And we also, if you look at the Municipal Systems Improvement Grant, we also had an indirect grant and spending that did not start as planned, which had an impact on cash flow. And then just the recording of expenditure, which was incurred by the Nonprofit Institution for the Community Works Program, which still needs to have been finalized during the financial year, was recorded on the suspense account. And then just transfer payments and subsidies, that was in relation to withholding of funds due to non-compliance within the DORA Act. So in the final slide, we then say that we recommend that the Portfolio Committee please note the summary of our financial and non-financial quarterly performance for 2019-20. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much, DG. So that completes the presentations. Colleagues, can I see the show of your faces? Or you can even raise your hand on the platform if you want to. Hello, Mam Kize. You are number one. Sure. Who else wants to ask questions? Mam Kize, that I've noted, that's one. Mkalipi, Keza. That's all. I'm trying to also check. Nobody has raised the hand, that's fine. Can we start in that order? Honorable Mam Kize, Honorable Mkalipi, and Honorable Kaisa in that order. Mam Kize, welcome. Good to see you back. I hope
Thank
you are
you,
well
Chair.
Now.
Yeah, I'm fine, Chairperson. But Chair, can I regret my to not show my face because I where I am, the signal is not as bad.
No, you're more than welcome.
Okay,
proceed.
Chairperson, thank you, Chairperson. I say good morning to all guys. It's been a long time not to talk with each other. So, firstly, Chair, let me start with the Traditional Affairs Department. They talk about the capacity building. I don't know in which number in the program, but they were talking about the capacity building in the Traditional Affairs Chair. My question in the Traditional Affairs Chair is that did they find any achievement to their capacity building to the Traditional Affairs, especially to the fighting within the Abatem King with his son to make sure that that house is come to be in order as they are building the capacity to the chiefs. And also, Chair, in Khoisan community, did they find any achievement to achieve that they can achieve to make sure that the Khoisan, they are not fighting who's going to lead them, who's going to be their king, who's going to be their chief. Because in that community, it seems like everybody wants to be a chief or a king. In their capacity building, did they build those community to be in order so that they can listen to each other? Also, Chairperson, on Mesa Chair, Chairperson, on Mesa, actually, I don't want even to say anything to Mesa.
Is there a bowl drilled at Nyande?
I hear that, but I cannot confirm because I didn't see it. As much as the Mr. CEO yesterday said, he sent me a WhatsApp. There is no WhatsApp that he sent me, the Mr. CEO. So I cannot believe whatever they are saying to me now.
The report at the Nyandeni goal is read and is fully agreed.
Okay. Hmm? I think it's fine. I think it's fine because we are in the level one. Maybe I'll be fine when we are going to see, when we are going to conduct our oversight in an Eastern Cape, in Enyandeni, so that we can see exactly. But I cannot confirm anything, but I don't know. So now I want to say, Chairperson, it is not good for the people to be getting paid to do their work and to the people who didn't get paid anything, who suffering just to get a service delivery. But people, they come and tell us that they deliver this, they deliver that. Why did they did not deliver anything in there? So that is what I'm saying. I'm so devastated about the MISA, but it's fine. We'll see when we're going on. In DICO, Chair, I want to ask for the department of the department of the cooperative governance and traditional affairs. Did they feel comfort when they are not deliver a water, just a clean water to the rural community? Many rural community every day. Remember, Chair, I was lying here in the bed because I was sick, opening my TV. I saw many, many people crying about water in all of the country. But this department is there. What they are doing? Did they sleep well? Even if them, would they see this thing that are happening on TV about people who don't have water, who don't have anything? But every day we are listening to them telling us achieve, not achieve, achieve, not achieve. It doesn't assist, Kepasin. In the 26 years of our democracy, we still have people who are crying. The department talks about also about the training of anti-corruption. If they are training people to not be corrupt, why are we still see people joining them because of corruption? Money was eaten, service delivery was not done. Why? But they were training people to anti-corruption. Did they achieve? What did they achieve to those training? If they may tell us, what did they achieve to those training? If we still have people crying about the corruption on the ground in the municipalities, joy every day on TV about the municipality who are stealing money of the poor, service delivered is not there. But they are telling us here in their document that they were doing a anti-corruption training. They must tell us what did they achieve. Why we still have these people who are busy joining because of the corruption? Why they train their mayors and their officials about the anti-corruption case? Myself, Chairperson, I'm not comforted. When I'm going to the rural areas, many of them, even if I'm not going there, I saw it on TV, many around the country, municipalities are eating money, people that don't have clean water. Municipalities are eating money, people that don't have houses. What did they do as a department? Thank you, Chair.
Hey, thank you so much, Honorable Tara. Honorable Mkalipi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. May I also switch off my video because of the connection?
Sure, fine.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thanks for presentation that we made. It was very good, Chair, that we received this presentation after our oversight. And when we speak here, as Mam Kize is already started to shoot, it's because we have been on the ground and we met with people and we know exactly what is happening on the ground. Chair, let me just start by engaging with DTA. DG of DTA, I just want to concur also to make a follow-up on what Honorable Mam Kize was asking specifically, because I remember in the committee we did raise this concern of Abatembo issue. And if I'm not mistaken, Chair, we were promised by the department to come back and clarify, because Abatembo issue is one issue that is taking place in the whole of the country. And it's unfortunate that we don't get a clear report in terms of kingships in South Africa. We just get those bit by pieces, and then we raise it with the department. But there's a lot of problems around this issue of kingship. Maybe we'll appreciate if we can have another meeting with the Department of Traditional Affairs. As Chair also indicated previously, that we must have some more engagement with the Department of Traditional Affairs, not for the problems that we encounter when we engage with people on the ground, but also just to understand exactly what is the department doing in terms of their mandate. That is one issue. The issue that the chair raised earlier on regards to the oversight and the committee made it sure that we don't only concentrate on the side of governance, which are the municipalities, but we also have to meet and engage with traditional leadership, because they are part and parcel of this portfolio committee. So it's cutting when they are oversight, they are by the way. And I must say here, Chairperson, in on records, that they have appreciated that fact that when we was doing our oversight, we said, no, let us also meet the traditional leadership of the areas that we're visiting. So we must put on record, Chairperson. So the presentation painted a picture that all is well, but when we met those people, especially even the president of the National House of Traditional Leadership, Mr. Ubab Mahlangu, was there. And when we went to those areas, like for instance, Thekwini, Ogwini, Mgungundlovu, the leadership came and met with us. They have raised a sorts of things that suggest that they are not happy. One thing that I want to make an example of is the issue of this district model. I remember very well the secretary of that local leadership of Mgungundlovu. I think it was Mama Molife, I can't remember. She said they are not even clear what is their role in terms of the district model.
It's not a secretary, it's a deputy chair of the house.
Of the house, yes.
Yes.
It's Miss Molife, eh?
Yes.
Inkosi Molife. Inkosi Molife,
yes.
They were so organized in a way that they have listed their issues, but this one came very clear to say that they are not engaged. They are not clear what is their role. No one seems to engage them in order for them to play a meaningful role. And they have raised a number of issues regards to the tools of trade. For instance, out of the committee, of the whole committee, it's only one person who has been given a tool of trade. And even the chair, I remember in that meeting, you asked them, what about your committee members? When you're supposed to meet with your council, what do you do if you are only be given a computer or a cell phone as an individual? So how do you perform your work, your duty of the council? So we are raising these issues because with the very same fact that the chair also raised when we started this meeting, that during the oversight, the senior people of the department were not there in order to able to clarify some of those issues that were raised there. So we're relying on the people from the province. So as a result, DG of the department, we really need to get this clarity on why, if we embark on oversight, why the senior staff members of the department does not come with us? Because at the end of the day, we're subjected to say, okay, we hear you, we are going to come back with responses, but we don't have responses now. I heard the DG of Traditional Affairs mention Ms. Kumbuza Shandu, who is a senior staff member. And I also say that in that meeting of EdTech, she was there. But I heard her talking to the chair, telling the chair that, you know, she was not well for some time. So that's why she was not part and parcel of the delegation, but she came to Etekwini. But when she came to Etekwini, so the very same issues that were raised by Amakosi of Etekwini, saying that they don't get any joy, they don't work together with municipality, because what we have also gathered is that the department's arrangement is that if Amakosi belongs to that particular area, for instance, Etekwini, so the arrangement is that that municipality must provide. So it means that if Etekwini municipality or the leadership of Etekwini does not care about this institution, it means that they are not going to get joy. So Tandaza, Kumbuza, it's Tandaza. When Tandaza tried to provide explanation, it became very complicated until the chairperson said no, but what we are providing in this meeting on behalf of the department is also putting the department in more trouble, because we have, I don't know what was the summit that we have, and there was a resolution that were taken in that summit and were not implemented. As a result, in that meeting, the chairperson said, no, you must come and report, you must give a report to this committee about the resolution that we took to that summit. Because now the summit took place on this day, and up to now there is no resolution that were implemented. So there is that gap between Amakosi and the department. Issues such as some of them, their secretaries or whoever was in office, they are earning something like 1,700. And I remember one official of the department, Imam Jali, said, no, we are engaging with Amakosi on this issue. We know. But there was no clear direction as how are we going to solve these problems that are raised here. And if the senior person from the department was there with that information, it could have helped, even with the committee. So we ended up being politicians to say to them, as members of the committee, we hear you are going to come back to provide answers. So I think that is the context to how the chair was raising this issue of senior departmental officials not attending the oversight. Looking at the slides that talks about women empowerment project, if the DG of Traditional Affairs can also elaborate on that one, because it's a very interesting one, although we didn't get it when we go to the oversight. But if there is a women empowerment project that is planned by the department, one will appreciate to get more details, because we are also from the communities, so they will know, they want to know what it's all about. So that is land, that is Traditional Affairs Chair. Coming to Mr. Chair, I don't have too much to say, except the same sentiment that was raised by Uma Mamkize. And when we went to oversight, most of the time is the technical support that is also missing. And when we engage with MISA people at the province, they also tell you that we also have a challenge in terms of human resources. I remember I was engaging with a MISA person from KZN Oakwood. Well, she was telling me that we are working with the skeleton staff. So it's going to be very difficult for me here in KZN with all these problems that are raised here at Oakwin. For instance, Oakwin, the infrastructure is aging. I think it's the same situation with Etekwin. I don't know why the municipalities are waiting until the infrastructure is getting bad. There is a discussion for another day, but that's where MISA comes from now, to intervene. But with this challenge of the capacity, it becomes a problem. That's why you'll hear Honorable Mamkize speaking like this, to say that it will also put a picture or paint a picture as MISA is not relevant. Because wherever we go, we get this issue of technical support. And as a department, as a portfolio committee, we boldly say, no, there is MISA that's supposed to help you. But at the same time, the problem or the challenge still exists. For instance, Etekwini chairperson, you also counted how many technical people were there in Thekwini. There were a sizable number of those professionals as engineers, as what. But still the problem is getting worse on day by day at Thekwini. So therefore, my question that will go to me is, how do you coordinate with municipalities who have capacity? My understanding is that you go to that rural municipality with no capacity, and then you provide the capacity for the municipality to move forward in terms of service delivery. But in this case, like Thekwini, when they do the presentation, we even calculated, I can't remember the number, but they said they have enough capacity in terms of their skill, technical people. But the problem, it does not reflect such. The problem is dipping in terms of infrastructure that is aging. As a result, people of Thekwini are suffering from water. They don't get water. Even if I can call now as a resident of Thekwini to say there's a pipe that has burst here in terms of sewer, those people, they can take even up to a week. And some of the communities, they even embark on themselves to fix such a pipe that has been burst because they can't live with those things that are coming out of that pipe. So the standard is dropping on daily basis, while the money that the AG is also pointing to the fact that this money is not accountable to. So it becomes a problem. So without going to town about that, how does MISA coordinate their work with those municipalities that they are not in crisis like other municipalities? That is a matter in terms of technical support system. But MISA has obtained a clean audit chair for the year ending 31st March 2020. The management report from the audit general raised some concerns, although you have obtained a clean audit. If MISA can elaborate on these concerns and the plans to address them. MISA reports that it did not achieve some of the targets under the technical support services program due to budget reprioritization during the first quarter of 2019-2020. To what did this budget reprioritization relate? As this period was before the COVID-19 outbreak, if they can also clarify that Ndawanyana, because we are not clear. That is MISA. Let me go to the department itself, Chairperson. You know, the first page of the presentation of the department. Thanks for the honest DG, because that's where we're supposed to start as the committee. That action plan is the post-action plan according to your slides here. We were very excited when we presented this action plan in the committee before the COVID-19. We were very excited, very excited. And you came to the committee. You also did the presentation, and we reminded you to say that, no, maybe you must be consistent as the department, because this issue of the department not receiving the clean audit is also a concern. Remember, you are expected to oversee the municipalities, 257 municipalities, and 20 of these municipalities, they only receive the clean audit. The rest is a mess. So we can't afford to have a department who also does not achieve this clean audit. But other colleagues, they were very happy to say that, no, in the previous year or this year, I can't remember, you have get it. But we said, no, if you are not going to update in terms of this auction or action plan, we are not going to go forward or as expected as the portfolio committee to do the oversight over you. And when I saw the first slide speaks to the fact that you 85% is not achieved. And it also involves something like grants and transfers of payment that were incorrect, were made incorrect recipients. And you're not even telling us, Guti. So after you discover those things, such as wrong payments or incorrect payments to people, how are you going to address this, or what is the time frame? Because what we want to know from this committee, what is the time frame to incorrect such thing? And it is not going to be very easy for us, Chair, just to say, okay, the department just mentioned this, and that's all. We must know, the department must go into details to tell us who did this incorrect payment. That person who did this was taken, an action was taken against him or her. So what is the status of that person? Otherwise, if you are going to talk for sake of reporting and then we leave things hanging, DG, this thing of corruption and this thing of not getting into the bottom of the things is not going to help this department. So I will love to hear from the DG on those statements, Jay. Grant transfer payments made to incorrect recipients, the issue of prepayment and advances as well. You just mentioned in passing, DG, without going to details. What happened? Why there were advance payments done? To who? By who? And then that person, which law was he using in order to do this advance payment? If he was paying or she was paying without mandated with any law, was that person suspended? How far? If you are very serious to do the cleaning of the department. Hey, Chairperson, this thing of CWP, I really don't know. Maybe Guti, how can we also put it very clear for this committee in order to be taken very serious? This thing is coming now and again, even on the presentation of the DG. We are saying that out of 285,000 CWP that we have, the training only happened for 16,000 people. That is not a problem. But the issue around this thing of the CWP, there was a concern we even raised with the minister when the minister came to the portfolio committee before lockdown or before COVID-19. And she also said, no, she has also satisfied herself as well during this project that the department embarked on. So there is a crisis there. And somebody, one official, I can't remember his name, he promised to come back with a full report because he said we need a full report around this. So now, I'm also proposing, Chair, let us get that report that we said you wanted around the CPWA, because it remains unresolved on us as a quarter. The last one, Chair, I just want to check with the department. Which municipalities failed to comply with the conditions of DORA, Division of Revenue Act, which is resulting in retention and underspending of local government equitable share under the Institutional Development Program? What assistance is the department providing to these municipalities to enable them to comply with DORA requirement? That is a very critical one, Chairperson. We must be told which municipalities, because the state of the municipalities and is becoming worse, and then there are municipalities who failed to use this in terms of DORA. That is my last question, Chairperson, to the department. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Honorable Mkalipi, Honorable Cesar.
Thank you very much, Chair. Municipalities are currently at the brink of collapse. Most importantly to note, Chairperson, is the fact that some are completely collapsed, even against the interventions that we see happening. I want to ask the department whether interventions themselves are a workable solution. What is the role of the provinces to assist the municipalities that are dysfunctional? Before we even go to section 139 of the Constitution, because what we often see there is undesirable people being circulated, say, recycled, and so forth. Chairperson, During that process, majority of municipalities and local government then are unable to provide basic services, and owe Eskom and water boards lots of money without the capacity to collect revenue. So I want to ask the department, what informs the write-off of the debt of Eskom of 377 million in a municipality that was not audited, like Dr. J.S. Moroka here in Kangan? What informs that write-off? Because that municipality was not audited. The other issue then pertains to municipalities having to play the intermediary position in terms of providing